Good morning, wherever you are listening in this wonderful country. Thank you for being here. Bill Ryder with you on the program. Great show lined up for you. Very excited about the next couple of hours. My buddy, Jerry Hairston Jr., longtime Major League Baseball player, World Series champion, Dodgers analyst, though he won that World Series for the Yankees. Jay Hair will be on the show in about an hour. We'll do buy or sell in the second hour with fill-in producer Nico Scarlatos because Ryan Hickey is off today again. We'll talk about Texas being a number one overall preseason selection and still being an underdog. We're getting a college football kickoff with a bang this year, that Texas-Ohio State game. There are some real problems that are brewing up in Pittsburgh, and this is good, right? Glass half full. It doesn't involve, in this case, Aaron Rodgers. It does, in fact, involve Cam Hayward. So we'll talk about that and what that means. I've got a, look, you just heard us. We're nice here. I'm wrong, whatever. I have a bone to pick with Travis Kelce, and I'm pretty sure I'm 100% wrong on this. I'm pretty sure that I'm, you know, that Reddit thing. I'm the, I can't say it on the radio. I'm the jerk face. It's not jerk face. I think I'm the jerk face, but I'm going to be a jerk face to Travis Kelce later in the program. And I want to read you something. We'll do this maybe in 20 minutes. I take for granted sometimes, I try not to, how lucky we are to do radio, to come into your, look, you're listening on the radio, you're listening on the free Odyssey app, maybe you're listening on the podcast, whatever way you let us come into your world, you let us come into your world. It's cool, I appreciate it. There's a connection that develops. And one of you sent me a note yesterday about how this show in particular has been helpful over what's been a rough year. So I'm just going to read that as a way just to thank all of you who let us hang out with you a little bit and chill and be part of your world and part of your life and hopefully make you feel better about yourself, whether, like the gentleman we're going to hear from, you like the show or you just like to listen to me and feel smarter. I understand, whatever it is, right? We appreciate it. Phone number 888-710-4 ISN 888-710-4476. I'm on the old exit sports writer, sports R-E-I-T-E-R. So I'm trying here to glean some truths from the NFL preseason. And yesterday on the program, if you missed it, you can go back and listen on the podcast. Nico gave us a great five things you need to know, what was kind of bubbling up from NFL preseason. Let's be honest, there's a bit of a catch-22 when we get to this time of year. Because on the one hand, the NFL is the thing we crave. We are starved for that level of sports. We are starved for that sport. And on the other hand, the preseason, the National Football League, is a whole bunch of nothing. It's like wanting a feast and getting a little bit of water. I understand this isn't as significant as the actual games and storylines, the meaning that'll actually kick in when we get to the regular season, which they should just rename the season that matters and isn't stupid. But there are some things in the preseason that I think are worth pulling out. Some strings I want to pull on. And some of them have to do with our own overreactions, reactions, the way that we sort of second-guess things. And I'm talking about Travis Hunter here. I'm talking about a player who has the potential, and every player that comes into the National Football League has potential, the potential to be a great quarterback, the potential to be a long-time impact player, the potential, whatever. This guy has the potential to literally be one of the most unique and interesting players in the history of the National Football League. And that means, and it's a tall task, it is also the reason the Jags presumably gave away a lot to go get him at number two. That means he has the opportunity, Travis Hunter, to be one of the most interesting players in the history of all sports. And so here is my ask of fans, of media. I think the Jags will do this because of what they spent. Let Travis Hunter cook. Let the guy do his thing. Let's lean into the fact that he can and should, at least for a while, play on both sides of the ball. I understand the temptation, the worry, the frustration that if, and this is real, if you don't develop him properly on one of the two sides of the ball, he may not develop at all. And Jacksonville is ground zero, okay? It is the perfect place to point toward massive talent that can be ruined or damaged and not have the value it should have because you don't manage it properly. Because the guy that should be throwing the football to Travis Hunter when he's at least lining up as a wide receiver like he did a little bit over the weekend. He played on both sides of the ball in that preseason game. The guy throwing the football, Trevor Lawrence, is not, I checked this morning, one of the best quarterbacks of all time. He's not even a top five quarterback in the National Football League. He is a huge, overwhelming disappointment in what he should have been. He was a generational talent. He should have been, I don't know, Andrew Luck without the early retirement at worst. And it didn't happen because the Jags were a hot mess and Urban Meyer was awful at his job, and that's where we are. So I understand the concern, the worry, the frustration. What if Travis Hunter doesn't develop? It doesn't matter. Throw it out the window. And part of the reason is because, and you have to trust the people in charge that they're making the right decisions. I don't know anything about James Gladstone, the new young GM, other than he looks younger than Nico, and Nico looks like a guy who's turning 26 on Thursday, okay? James Gladstone is the baby-faced general manager of the Jags. He got the job this year. He's one of the youngest GMs in the history of the sport, and he could be really good or he could be a disaster. But he's the guy in charge. And the minute he traded away, what, a first-round pick this year, a first-round pick next year, a lot, to go up to number two in the draft, to get Travis Hunter, to play on both sides of the ball, that had to be the trajectory of this player and his opportunities and his potential. Travis Hunter could be, and we don't know unless you let him just sink or swim, could be one of the most interesting, fascinating, impactful football players in the history of the sport. And I know that sounds crazy and like you're overreacting, Ryder, but I'm going to point to the obvious example and just remind you the way that everybody has views, including me, and then we run away from them and pretend we never had them when they turn out not to be true. Shohei Ohtani is the perfect case study in this. Because when Ohtani came over all those years ago from Japan, and it was the Angels, and that certainly probably introduced some doubt that this could work, because the Angels are, like the Jags, largely moronic in how they run their organization. The general consensus was, well, maybe it'll work on one side of the equation, but he can't pitch and he can't hit. And every expert, and I bet Jerry Harrison Jr. was one of them, and every know-nothing idiot, put me on that list if you want to, and everybody in between that talked about this largely, with a few exceptions, said, Shohei can't pitch and he can't hit. I'm sure he's great. Right? And there was this condescension about, well, Japan's not the majors. You know, college football's not the NFL. There was this historical record that it couldn't be done. And so I think, rightfully, we all assumed a guy like Shohei Ohtani, any guy, wasn't going to be able to come into Major League Baseball and hit effectively and pitch effectively. And barring injury, Shohei Ohtani is a top three hitter every year. I mean, the guy's won an MVP. And he's a top, conservatively top 10 pitcher in baseball. It turned out we were wrong. And it turned out the thing, because it's a little different in how international players are absorbed into Major League Baseball teams. It's not a draft the way it is for players who are from the United States of America. You can just go out and draft whoever the hell you want. Or not draft, sign whoever the hell you want. So the player has a lot of power in that. And it turned out the Angels' desperation to get Shohei, which was, we'll let you do both. We'll let you do, I promise. They probably didn't believe in it. That's how they got him. They were one of the few organizations that unequivocally, because they had no leverage, said, you can pitch and you can hit. And the takeaway for this on Travis Hunter is, it doesn't work that way in the NFL. The NFL has a draft. Yeah, you can kind of force your way here or there. You can pull an Eli Manning, maybe. But largely speaking, if you are a talented college player, you're going to go where you get drafted. And if you get drafted by a team, see Trevor Lawrence, that doesn't know how to manage your massive talent, they can certainly screw it up. The way you screw up Travis Hunter, outside of bringing back Urban Meyer, which isn't going to happen, but outside of that, the way you screw up Travis Hunter is you don't believe in him at the level that the Angels were forced to believe in Shohei Ohtani. The only reason Shohei can do what he did is because somebody let him. Because when he started getting hurt or there were little struggles in the beginning, people didn't throw up the white flag, surrender, and say, just be a hitter, just be a hitter. Oh, my God, just be a pitcher. Let Travis Hunter do his thing. He didn't. Look, it was inauspicious beginning. It was fine. It's preseason. It doesn't really matter. We've talked about this. You're not going to let a lot of your players who are significantly important to your team get a lot of snaps in preseason. You don't want them to get hurt. And there's this push and pull about how much. And it depends on the coaching staff. How much should you let guys play? A lot of these dudes in Cincinnati want to play all the preseason games to be sharp because they've had bad starts the last few years. Versus, you know, let's just ease them in and make sure they don't get hurt. Here was Travis Hunter's remarkable, this is a sarcasm, stat line. He had 19 total snaps. Remember, he played on both sides of the ball. He had 11 on offense and 8 on defense. Had a couple receptions for 9 yards, which, as you know, is innocuous and basically nothing. And on defense, there was not a whole lot there. He did miss a tackle. And so the world, the sky was falling. It was Chicken Little time. Everything was going badly. And there's been some suggestions, and it's fine, it's legitimate, it's reasonable, it's what I would think if Shohei hadn't come around, maybe and blaze a trail. Well, maybe you just focus on one side of the ball, maybe you just ease him in, let's have him be, I'm just making this one up, let's have him be a receiver. Trevor Lawrence, who needs to work on Trevor Lawrence, has already said, I really want him on offense, just let him ease into that, and we can figure out defense later, or do it the other way around if you want to. Incorrect. Wrong. Because the minute you went up and you got this guy at number 2 in the draft, and not just drafting him there, gave away so much to get him, you did that if you're James Gladstone, the 17-year-old looking gentleman. I don't know why I keep bringing up how young he looks. It's probably condescending. I don't mean, and I look young for my age, which is awful until you're my age and then it's great. But it is a big risk. And they did not draft him to be a receiver. They did not draft him to play on defense. They drafted him to be a high-impact player on both sides of the ball. They drafted him. They'll have to manage how often he's on the field and his actual snaps in the regular season because they basically believe that he's a number whatever, 5 or 6 or 7 in the draft talent at one position and the same thing at the other position. They get, like the Angels and now the Dodgers, they get 2 players for the price of 1. You got to manage that properly. You got to watch injury. You got to watch fatigue. Beyond the fact that it's just great drama, beyond the fact that he did it in college at a remarkably high level under massive scrutiny and pressure, not the same speed of the game, I understand. College football is not the NFL. The Japanese Baseball League is not Major League Baseball either. Doesn't mean these jumps can't happen. Beyond the fact that just for you and for me, it would be hellaciously cool to watch, there is an investment that the Jags have made. And so this is the string I just want to pull from this preseason game that was otherwise pretty meaningless. Let Travis Hunter see if he can do it. Don't freak out after a regular season game that doesn't work. Don't freak out after 2 or 3 weeks. This is going to sound a little strange, but you almost have to wrap him in bubble wrap. Not actually, but just in terms of your expectations and your patience, the way that you would a quarterback. Look, Cam Ward is going to, it's going to be an interesting situation because of the team that he plays for and how bad they are. If he has a bad first game, they're not going to throw up their hands and say, this didn't work, let's make him a running back or sit him or put him on the practice team. That's not the way that that works. You're going to give guys time. And you, the quarterback position, you kind of want to ease them in and not set them up to fail. I get it. Same for Travis Hunter. I don't know what route the Jags are going to take. And I don't trust the Jags to do a particularly good job, even though it's a different regime all the way around, because of what happened with Trevor Lawrence. Maybe that means he plays a little receiver and a little DB or whatever the combo is over the course of the first few weeks. Maybe they just throw him in. Either way, let there be patience and let the guy do his thing. Travis Hunter has the potential to be beyond special, to be remarkable, to be one of the most interesting, and if you're the Jags, important football players, literally in the history of the game, because he can do something almost no one has ever been able to do successfully. And that isn't going to happen in a first preseason game, or maybe a third preseason game, or maybe even a third regular season game when these things matter and they count. Let him do it. And the benefit, and I'll close here, if you're the Jags, even though it's a different sport, is you've seen this a few times before. And Shohei Ohtani is the most recent example. Just because it hasn't been done doesn't mean that it can't be done. And if you're going to have the courage to draft or bring in this case, draft somebody who might be able to be a unicorn, let them be a damn unicorn. All right, 888-710-4ISN is the phone number on this Tuesday. Let me just decode that for you, because I get pissed off when I go to dial the number, right? And then I have to do the letters. 888-710-4476. 888-710-4ISN. It's all the same. Sports Writer on X, Sports R-E-I-T-E-R. I'm mad at Travis Kelce. You know what? We'll just steal this straight from Reddit. Am I the jerk face? We'll find out next here on Writer Than.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast. Welcome back to Writer Than You.
You're not allowed to lie. Nico Scarlatos asked me this question yesterday, so I'll ask you. He said, buy or sell, Ryan Hickey misses you, Bill.
Buy.
You liar.
I did.
I also bought that you missed me.
Buy.
We both lied. We both broke the rule.
Two lies make a right? Right? Can we turn that?
Yes.
That saying
yes,
into
bye. Correct. I like it.
On the Infinity Sports Network.
All right, welcome back into the show. Bill Ryder with you. Nico filling in for Ryan. I don't miss Ryan at all, and trust me, he does not miss me. But he'll be back here on Thursday regardless. Phone number 888-710-4ISN. Allow me, indulge me, please, to get a little serious here. I've been doing radio, not that long, actually. I've been doing radio for 13, 12 years, something like that. Got into it late. And I had been a writer. I had done TV before I did radio. I like both of those things. I love radio. I love it in a way that I don't the other things that I have done and do for a living. And part of it, again, if you'll indulge me, is I just didn't realize until I got into radio how lucky you are, how it's that there's a connection there if you're lucky enough to do this with the people that are lucky enough to let you into the world who listen. It's a real thing. That was true when I worked at a different network. That was true when I had a show in Los Angeles. That was true when I left that show to be able to do a solo show. It was then CBS Sports Radio and is now the Infinity Sports Network. And this is, I'm just going to give you an example. One of our listeners is a guy named Brad. And he has had a pretty rough couple years. His mother passed away. His son, who's doing better now, went to rehab, had some struggles. He's been sober for a long time. That's awesome. And on top of all that, a storm came through his community. And I don't know how much he wants his name to be shared, so I'll just keep it general. Brad, if you're listening, let me know. A storm came through his community and literally destroyed his house while all this was happening. And he sent me a note yesterday, and I'm just going to read it to you. May 26, 2024, my house was all but destroyed. Your show has helped me through each day, made me laugh and take my mind off things. That was just to remind you. Today I was hauling clothes back to the house. Hopefully next week we will have a certificate of occupancy. September 8th, we have movers scheduled. Your show has been a huge help to get away from the daily grind, daily checking on their work, almost there. And then he goes on, we both sort of from a similar city or lived in a similar city. Point is, Brad, God bless you, brother. I'm so happy to hear that. It's amazing. And whether it's that, or you like to laugh at me, because I am someone you can laugh at, sometimes with, often at, or whatever the reason you listen, very appreciative, don't take it, and even if you hate me, and some of you clearly do on social media, appreciate you, and I'm appreciative of the fact that you let us come into your world and hang out, so thank you, and Brad, God bless you, brother. I'm so glad you're going to be back in that house. I'm glad your son's doing well, and I'm glad for whatever reason, whatever way, this show was a small part of sort of making things a little bit better until you got to this better place in your life. 888-710-4ISN is the phone number. Nico, good morning. Hello again. Do you like, I always say your name like it's Spanish. It's not, right? Nico Scarlatos, because I'm trying to learn Spanish.
I guess when you say it like that, it could come off that way, but no, it is.
Is it Italian?
It is Greek.
It's Greek. How would I say it I almost said ancient, in the original Greek, do you know?
So technically my name is Nikolas, so my dad always tells me that I should be pronouncing it Nicholas.
Nicholas.
Yeah, but.
And then last name?
Scarlatus, that's how
Scarlatus. I've been butchering that thing.
No, you've been saying it right.
All right. Nicholas?
Nicholas, yeah.
Nicholas.
Whenever anyone asks, I always just say Nicholas. I don't even bother trying to go down that road.
I'm going to call you Nico.
Fair enough.
Are you familiar with Reddit's Am I the Jerk Hole? Am I the Jerk Face? Are you familiar with this thread? It's a famous thread where they're using a swear word I can't use, where people tell stories about themselves. This happened, and then everyone weighs in, like, yeah, you're the jerk face, or you're not. I'm going to do one really quickly, okay?
Okay, let's do it.
Okay. I've met Travis Kelce multiple times. I used to have a TV show where I interviewed famous athletes, and he came on a lot and was awesome, and he was really nice to me. I was once at Radio Row at midnight working on this show when we did it at night, and there were 30 stalls, and it was just me, his brother, and him, and he's like, hey, Bill, it was real weird, but nice guy. I think he's a great football player. I do not hate the Chiefs. I actually like them. I covered that team in my newspaper days. My kids are fans. I'm a big fan of that organization. I like Clark Hunt a lot. So when the Chiefs win, I'm happy. I'm not a fan. I'm a Bears fan. But like I I'm not mad at him for finding true love with maybe with Taylor Swift. But two things in the last week have made me just, I'm over him. I'm tired of him. I'm just like, stop. I don't need you to be the famous guy. So here's number one, was Happy Gilmore. And we did a Happy Gilmore review yesterday. He's in the movie. And I think he's actually kind of funny. He plays an obnoxious, backstabbing waiter. It's a very funny scene. But I'm just like, whatever, man. You have enough in your life. And then, I haven't watched it, but apparently he's got his, what is it, New Heights, whatever it is, podcast with his brother. And lo and behold, Taylor Swift is the guest, and they're dropping little nuggets. And this is reasonable, I guess. Maybe she had this big Taylor Swift bucket, basket, briefcase, and she pulled out her new album. And so she revealed she got a new album coming out. And I'm just like, I'm over Travis Kelce. You're in Happy Gilmore, and your girlfriend is the most famous person on earth, is revealing her. I like Taylor Swift. Am I the jerk face? I'm just, hey, Kelce, just be anonymous for a couple months.
I'm 100% with you on this. I think it's gone way too far. For Jason's sake, I think it's fine because he's retired. So he could do whatever he wants now post-playing career. Travis, though, like, shouldn't you be focusing on getting ready for the season now? Like, you guys just got embarrassed in the Super Bowl. You'd think you'd be a little motivated. Yeah, exactly.
Down the stretch, he looked 80.
I
think I am the jerk. I think it's me, actually. I don't know. It just annoys the hell out of me. I can't. And by the way, I don't know if him and Taylor Swift are in love. I think they probably are. My former producer, Pretty Daddy, was so convinced that it was true love that I just spent a year convincing him it wasn't, and then he switched and it broke his heart. I just did it to mess with him. I don't know. It's not my business. And what are you ever going to glean from a 7-second clip on X? But their exchange was pretty sweet. That's the other reason I'm a jerk face. Like, it was a very nice, they had a very nice, all right. I'm over Travis Kelce. Texas, I saw this, and I can't believe it's true, but the internet, and I looked this up too, has never lied, and I looked that up on the internet, so that's what the internet told me, that it has actually never lied. For the first time in its history, Texas is the number one ranked team in the Associated Press's preseason poll. Obviously, these polls change drastically over the course of the year. Texas is a pretty good football team. They are also one of the few teams in history to be the number one ranked team entering the season and be an underdog. And they're playing number three Ohio State. That game is in Columbus. It's going to be a barn burner. I can't wait. And there's not an overarching take here other than I cannot wait for this football game. And maybe I'm a captive of the moment. And maybe it's because I was talking to a guy yesterday, just casually, who knows what I do for a living, who is in sales and worked in sports and was making the same case, and it's been in my brain. But the fact that the most interesting football game of the year, at the beginning of the year, is going to be a college football game just reinforces for me that college football, I think, whatever you think of NIL, and it can be annoying, whatever you think of the transfer portal, it is certainly destabilizing. Whatever you think of the greed, the vulture-like reality and actions of the SEC and the Big Ten, and that is certainly a truth, I think college football has made this huge leap forward in terms of relevance. And they've done this, and it's football, so it helps. They've done this amazing, because I was in Iowa for vacation last week, and everyone's a Hawkeye fan. Everything's the Hawkeyes, and I was just struck by how Hawkeye-centric that place is, and how in a lot of the country nobody cares, right, about Iowa. But I'm not in Texas, and I care about Texas. I'm not in Ohio. I care about Ohio State. I think this, in some ways, and maybe it's good timing, it just underscores how remarkably important college football has become. And while it's not the National Football League, I think it has closed the gap so severely that there's no other sport that even approaches it. And here's why. 5 years ago, if this – 2 years ago, 3 years ago, if this exact game had happened like this, it would have been interesting, but I think a part of me – I don't even know if I would have gotten into this consciously, but a part of me would have gone, okay, it's going to be really interesting. Whoever loses, their season's over. Remember when Oregon would play whatever SEC school they would play or Big Ten school, and then they would lose, and then just their season would be over, even if they dominated in what is now the extinct Pac-12? That reality took some of the limelight away, some of the luster away, because it was, all right, I got this great, this is in the way back machine, and not that way back, I've got this great Texas Ohio State game, but part of me knew, so really I have just one contender. It's week one, it's day one of the season, and I'm already, when it's over, going to have to cross a great team off my list of who matters and who's relevant. That's not true here. And they're 2.5-point dogs, Texas, the Longhorns are 2.5-point dogs. If Texas goes in and loses by 3 or loses by 6 to Ohio State, and it's a great football game, they're not finished for the year. There's an expanded college football playoff. There are avenues to get there. I think the fact that there are avenues to get there, that you can lose games and still be in, means there isn't this need by the committee, by me, by fans, by you, by AP voters, by the coaches poll, to overreact and just immediately dismiss them and nitpick them. You're allowed to lose a game against a great team and still be around. in the mix of things to come. And I think that, I mean, hell, you can lose more than that. You could just win. They could win it, lose another game, still make the SEC championship game, win that game, and be off and running. And so it is a reminder of how much more significant and interesting and fascinating and relevant college football is. And I know it already was. And so for anybody who said that the expanded college football playoff was a mistake, and we're not going to pick on anybody. It's Tom DeCelestino. He's gone now. He works at Sirius. You should just get right. But other than him, we're not going to point out that it was Tom. Those people were totally wrong. I'm pointing it out. Wrong. And I was here for it, but I didn't realize what a success it was going to be. And college football is still very imperfect. Do I think the players should be paid for their name, image, and likeness? Yes. Do I think the system works? No, I do not. Do I think that players should be trapped in a program if it upsets their life, if they're miserable, if it interferes with their chosen, hoped-for career playing in the NFL? Maybe more importantly, if their coach or the guy that recruited them leaves, should they be trapped? No, no. Do I think they should all be mercenaries who just switch sides like I'm watching Peaky Blinders? No, I don't think that that's the case either. So there are some things that have to be worked out and fixed, and the Big Ten and the SEC fighting amongst each other to figure out who dominates going forward at the expense of every other conference is a problem. With all of those flaws, college football is still 3, 4, 5, 6, 10 times more interesting, more relevant than the very, very relevant sport it was 3, 4, 5 years ago. And for me, the Texas-Ohio State thing just underscores that. 888, I cannot wait for that game. I'm not even sure I'm rooting for it. Do you care who wins that game, Nico? Because I don't.
So I'm a Michigan fan, so I guess I'm
wait,
a...
Wait, what?
Yeah.
How are you Michigan? You're from Long Island. You went to school in Ohio.
Well, so when I... Here in New York, there's not really any good schools in terms of football. Like, all we have is, like, Rutgers or Syracuse. And both those football programs, no offense to those schools, are not very great.
Just,
I know Rutgers was the birthplace of college football, but
yeah, but you don't
get
to pick your family. You don't get to pick your team. What do you just picked Michigan?
Yeah, when I was 12 years old, I turned on the TV and saw the Big House, thought it was an awesome spectacle, and I was like, you know what? I'm gonna get into this, and I've been a diehard fan ever since I was 12 years old.
In related news, I've decided I'm Italian. Women love Italian dudes. They're all charming. I turned on the TV, and I saw Pacino, and I'm like, I'm Italian, even though I'm German-Irish. But now I'm Italian. Whatever. You and Stu and everybody, that's unbelievable. Sorry, I didn't mean to judge that harshly, but come on.
No, it's fair. It's fair. It's warranted.
All right. So you're big Michigan. God. Big Michigan. God. So you're rooting for Texas.
Yes. I will be rooting
deep,
for the Longhorns.
Deep Michigan roots. I understand. We're nice here. I lied. 888-710-4ISN is the phone number. There's trouble brewing with the Steelers. And it doesn't involve, for now, asterisk, pause. It does not involve right now Aaron Rodgers. We'll tell you what's going on.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast. Welcome back to Writer Than You.
I'm no Adonis, okay? Nobody's ever confused me for Brad Pitt. And I look like Ryan Gosling compared to this dude.
On the Infinity Sports Network.
Welcome back into the show. Bill Ryder with you. Who was I calling ugly there? I mean, that is a very, I guess, nice way of saying that dude's real ugly. Nobody knows. I don't remember. 888-710-4ISN. J-Rock on the old X with a shout-out to Nico. Nico! This is him, not me. Nico! I knew I liked that guy. Go Blue. Jay, if you're from Florida, then I'm just going to judge you, too. But I assume you have actual Michigan roots. But I'm glad you could connect with Nico, who's from Long Island. Kevin Fulitar, whose name I've been butchering for years now, tweeted, sports writer, this is great. Travis Kelce, I just kind of told you I'm annoyed with Kelce. Travis Kelce is giving off the same energy as the guy at work who retired, tapped into his pension, and then came back to work part-time to double-dip and screw the next guy out of a job. He really is. And it's not what he's doing. It's also kind of unfair, but it feels right, doesn't it? And I'm not one of these anti-Taylor Swift people. I like her music. Will I pay 50 grand to go have a seat in the nosebleeds? I won't. I know this because my kids asked me. Speaking of my kids, I'm taking my daughter. My daughter is, oh my God, she's 16. So we do sort of dad-daughter hangout sometimes. She loves horror movies, Nico. I like movies. I'm not a big horror movie guy, but I've been dying to see Weapons, which is getting great reviews. People are talking about it. I don't know if you know anything about this. So I'm going to Weapons today.
I am not a fan of horror movies at all. So I actually have a question for you.
Okay.
My brother has been begging me to go see it, and I told him that I do not want to see it.
Right.
Then my girlfriend also said that she really wants to see it, so I told her the same thing. I was like, no, absolutely not. Would it be weird for my brother and my girlfriend to go together to see this movie? Is that like overstepping a weird boundary, or could it be like brother-in-law hangout time?
I'm just going to tell you something that I'm not a good, because you were telling me that I couldn't help but think it'd be hilarious if they got married. I don't know why. I just like, what a Thanksgiving dinner. You know, the bitterness for years, and you're like, freaking weapons. I mean, look, would I go to a movie with my sister-in-law, who's awesome? Yes. Would my brother go to a movie with Lori? Same thing? Yes. Would that have happened pre-marriage? I don't know, man. I don't know.
So we're going to steer clear of that. We're not going to allow that if it's an option.
It's up to you. I go to movies alone. I love going to movies and dinner by myself. That was a product of traveling a lot for a living. I just have him go to the movie by himself. I don't understand the shame people feel about going to movies alone. You literally go into a dark place where they turn the lights off and you're not allowed to talk. Movies should actually be alone experiences, not together experiences.
That's a great point. I've never tried it, but I've heard you're not the only one that's told me this. I will say I have gone to a sporting event by myself. I feel like the only time it really works is baseball, because baseball is chill enough where you can just like, you know, relax. If you want to, you know, I know people that bring like a scorecard. They keep score of the game. You're in your own thoughts. Hockey, I wouldn't do that though.
That's a whole other level of sort of loner self confidence. I mean, if you can do that, you can go to a movie alone.
Yeah, I guess you're right. Maybe I'll try it.
If you set your brother up with your girlfriend, you might be going to a lot of stuff alone. That's all I'm. Weapons looks great. So I'm not here tomorrow. I know I was off last week, and some of you have been getting mad at I'm not taking any more time off after this, other than my 20th anniversary in October. So I guess I am taking more time off. I'm off tomorrow. I got to do a thing, but then I'm around. So Thursday, I'll do a mini movie review. And I'm, again, not a big, I went to Sinners. Have you seen Sinners?
Yes, fantastic movie.
Amazing. I didn't think it was, there were a couple jump scares in there, but it wasn't. This, I think, is going to be terrifying, as I understand it. All right. Also terrifying is the Pittsburgh Steelers. See that? That's a transition right there. Even though they've got lots of weapons. I don't even know what this movie's about. Look, I understand guys want to get paid. And I understand the frustration when feeling like you're undervalued. I generally, and there are exceptions to the rule that I'm about to give you for me, I generally have very little to zero sympathy for people who are under contract and don't like their contract. And that's because at a fraction of the price that NFL athletes get paid to do their thing, I have contracts and always have. And I've had contracts where I'm vastly underpaid, and I've certainly had contracts where my employers would tell you I was vastly overpaid. And do you know what I did? I worked under the contract. That's the way that it works. And as you probably know, Cam Hayward is doing a hold-in, which is such a silly name. A little context here. Great player, all pro last year, signed last September, so basically entering last season a year ago, a two-year, $29 million contract extension. He's not a spring chicken. He's not a young guy. And we are talking about a league that has a cap. That is the reality. And he wants more money. He feels like he's vastly underpaid. He hinted to the media in his first time talking publicly. Now, Schefter had already sort of reported on this. He talked to the media in the last 24 hours about how he could miss a season. He sort of intimated he could hold out instead of hold in, and he talked about what it is that he actually wants.
Looking for my contract to be addressed. Honestly, looking to be valued. In my eyes, when I look around and at my position, I think I'm like, 22nd as a D-tech. I'm 36 as a D-lineman.
Look, I get it. And you want to get paid. And I've already addressed the you have a contract. You literally signed an extension a year ago. Hayward had a ready answer for people like me who say, whoa, bro, you just negotiated with the Steelers not that long ago.
I understand I signed a contract last year. But to be completely honest with you, when I signed that, I told them, when I have an all-pro year, expecting you to come back. And you can look at the contract and see what it was. But I think everybody kind of giggled a little bit. But in my heads, I used it as motivation to go out there and prove it.
Well, here's why they're giggling. So again, I don't make what NFL players make. None of us do, or most of us don't. But I feel like I can understand the contract situation a little bit. The reason they're giggling is because you signed a contract. You can come back all you want. The point of the contract is that you're not able to come back and unilaterally demand that your money changes. Normally, I would just say hold in, hold out. Normally, I would just say too bad. And I am a bit of an extremist on this issue. And the NFL has done a better job of this than, say, the NBA. In the NBA, if you get your feelings hurt, you're allowed to just dictate that you go somewhere else, and you're allowed to dictate where you go, driving the price down. So at least in the National Football League, the way that the cap works and sort of the culture of things, you don't have a lot of that. You don't have as much of that. And regardless of the sport, my view of this is you sign a contract, tough you know what, deal with it, play. There are some confounding problems for the Steelers that I think give Cam Hayward some leverage. It doesn't make it right, doesn't make it okay. I don't think they should give him more money as a matter of principle. But you don't make in this life, whatever you do, what you deserve, you make what you negotiate. That's how that works. And the fact is that the Steelers are all in on this year. Now, there's a sense, there's a perspective out there. I don't know that I quite buy this yet, that the Steelers have gone all in on this season with an understanding they're going to reset next year or the year after, that Aaron Rodgers obviously won't play much longer, and that there is rope, there is time, there is runway, if things go badly, for the front office, for the head coach, for the organization to readjust and recalibrate a year from now. Maybe. Probably. Yeah, based on the things that have happened. Regardless, you're all in on Aaron Rodgers. You're all in on the trades that you've made in the offseason. You're all in on the receiver that you brought in. And you need Cam Hayward to be on the field. Because your window, and I don't think it's going to work. I don't think the Steelers are going to be particularly successful this year. By the standards of all the moves that they have made. Your window to win a championship based on the moves you've made, based on what you've done, and it's not just Aaron Rodgers, right? It's a bunch of other things, is now. Is this moment exactly in time? And it's worth noting the context of this. And you know this, and I've said it ad nauseum, it is the story of the Steelers. It is the catch-22 of this organization. They haven't had a losing season in almost 20 years. That's amazing. They also have not won a playoff game in almost a decade. That is problematic. And so they're caught between these two realities. All they do is churn out competent seasons, and all they do is fail to turn that competence into actual meaningful success, even measured by the very, I think, paltry standard of win a single playoff game. And so you have, for me, this act of desperation this year. And Aaron Rodgers is the best example of that. It's not the only example of that. It's not the only thing that they've done. And you do it because you have to win. Now, I know this is an old reference, but I love... Nico, are you a Batman fan? Did you watch the Christopher Nolan Batman movies?
I'm not a big DC guy.
Oh, yeah, you told me that. There's a great line where Heath Ledger, rest in peace, what a performance when he played the Joker, where basically, I think it's Alfred, says to Batman, they turn to someone in their desperation they didn't understand. The mafia turns to the Joker. That's what the Steelers have done. They have turned to someone in their desperation that they don't understand. And that person is Aaron Rodgers. And it's not just Rodgers, right? I mean, DK Metcalf's a pretty big addition. And I'm not saying there's risk there, but it certainly increases the massive, massive level of expectation. So everything you need to do, your lack of playoff success, your consistency at having a winning record, and how that has gone from being a mark of excellence to a mark of what you haven't done, I don't think this is real, but the idea that maybe Tomlin could, I'm not even sure be on the hot seat, but maybe just grow frustrated enough with the Steelers, or if they grow frustrated enough with him, maybe he'd look to go somewhere else or look for pastures that appear a little greener on the other side of the horizon. All of those things are at play here. And that's why Cam Hayward has a case. I wouldn't pay him in a normal situation. I would say as politely as I could, to hell with you. I just gave you an extension. You make millions of dollars. I understand that you're an all-pro. He's first team all-pro, by the way, as well. I understand you're the 23rd highest paid player as an interior defensive lineman. I understand that you feel like it's under market value. I understand all of those things. I'm not going to do it. But this year, maybe you have to. You've got DK Metcalf. You've got Jalen Ramsey. You've got Jonnu Smith. You've got Aaron Rodgers. You've got a lot of things that you have brought into the mix. A lot of chips you put in the middle of the table in the service of winning. And here's the other thing. This fact, this reality, this gamble, and maybe it's worth it, maybe because I don't like Aaron Rodgers, and I don't. Maybe it's clouded my judgment, and I'm not being fair and just saying, way to be bold. What's the expression? Fortune favors the bold? They're bold. So maybe I'm, and this is possible, I may not be giving the Steelers their due for just saying to hell with it, let's go for it. Even if I did that, even if I should do that, they're still in the AFC. They're still in the AFC. If they were in the NFC, it might be a total. If they're in the NFC, I don't know if you could talk me into it with Aaron Rodgers, but you might be able to talk me, maybe, if you really like got a couple drinks in me, like, okay, the Niners are sort of questionable and they have some injury issues, and we've talked about the NFC North and the uncertainty of some of those teams, and the Commanders could take a step back. It's the AFC. The Chiefs are going to be better. The Bills are going to be better. The Ravens are going to be better. The Texans are going to be better. I don't know between the Chargers and the Broncos who I think has the higher ceiling, but the world tells us that normally you have teams that make these leaps, and they're one of those two teams could certainly be as good or better than the Steelers. I mean, you can go down the list of AFC teams, and there is reason to believe in a lot of cases there are jumps and leaps that can be made. Do I think the Dolphins are going to be good? No, I don't. But if you told me the Dolphins had a similar season or maybe a better season than the Steelers, I wouldn't be outrageously shocked. And the Dolphins are, I don't even know, the 9th or 10th best team in the AFC on paper if I had to do it right now. The point is, the Steelers maybe can do it, but it's a minefield. I don't buy it. If you're going to have any chance of proving people like me wrong, Hayward's got to be on the field. He has to be. And so having gambled this much, you might have to gamble again and give him what he wants. 888, and I would hate it. 888-710-4ISN is the phone number. We are going to talk some baseball with longtime major leaguer, World Series champion, Dodgers analyst, Jerry Harrison Jr., next here on Rider.
You're listening to the Rider Than You podcast.
All right, good morning. Welcome into the show. Bill Rider with you. Jerry Harrison Jr. is a longtime Major League Baseball player, played for several teams. He's a Dodgers analyst. He won the World Series. He's on X at The Real J Hair, and he's a great guy. Jerry Harrison Jr., good morning, buddy. What's up, pal?
Bill, good morning, man. How you doing?
I'm good, dude. So this Brewers team, it's funny. I'm a Cubs fan, as you know. I went to school in Naperville for a while. You are from Naperville. I know you played for the Cubs, but other teams, your allegiances change based on your experience. I'm a Cubs fan. That's what I am. And yet I like the Brewers. I like their organization. I find them impressive. I don't loathe them the way I do the Cardinals. I don't know why. I just like them. And I find myself captivated by this team. What's their ceiling here, Jerry? How good can they be when push gets to comes down to shove and, you know, we're talking playoff baseball?
Well, right now they're the best team in baseball, in my opinion. They do everything well. They put the ball in play. They got speed. They're athletic. They got great starting pitching. They got great back at the end, a bullpen with an elite closer. And it really starts at the top. The Brewers owner, Mark Attanasio, does an incredible job building great culture. There's no excuses. They're not a huge market, but they act like, hey, we're going to do the very best in what we do. We're not going to worry about any other team. We're not going to worry about any organization. We're going to make sure that we're going to be organized, and it's going to start from the top all the way down. And they're a well-run organization, first class all the way. It's not surprising to me that they continue. This is not just a one-year thing. They've been doing this for years. You know, been in the playoffs, been in the hunt, and they're just a really good team, man. And that's one thing that you look at. You said it, you're a Cubs fan, and obviously I'm with the Dodgers. You can't help but respect what they're doing. And it's really surprising to me that what I'm seeing what the Brewers are doing, I think that's what the Pirates should be doing.
Yeah.
You know, with all their top picks that they've had, and obviously Paul Skeens has been there for now a couple of years. You know, that's, if I was the Pirates, I would model my organization like the Milwaukee Brewers. If I was the Colorado Rockies, I would be modeling my organization like the Milwaukee Brewers, and they're certainly a first-class organization.
It's such a great call and such a great comparison, Jerry Harrison Jr. here on the show. Because, Jerry, sometimes when I'm just thinking about baseball and I think about the Brewers, I think about the Padres, also a smaller market, competing, right? Competing with the Dodgers. But the Padres spend money. I mean, they, I think they have the sixth highest payroll in baseball. The Brewers are all the way down at 20th, and as you noted, the Pittsburgh Pirates are at 21st. I'm old enough, I'm 47, I'm old enough that I can remember the Cardinals winning year after year after year after year after year because they had a culture and a system, and they scouted well, and everything they did well. Are the Brewers the new Cardinals? How are they doing this at the spend that they have?
Well, Bill, you kind of just said it right there. You know, the scouting. You got to go out there and make sure that the guys that you sign, whether it's international, the guys that you draft, whether it's high school, college, you don't miss on those guys. And not only do you draft well, you make sure you develop them in the minor leagues so when they come to the big leagues, they hit the ground running. That is so important. It's not like the NFL where you have a draft and you swing and you better make the hit because the guys that you draft, they're going to be on your roster in the NFL. Same thing in the NBA. Guys that you draft, they're going to hit your roster that same year. Baseball, it takes a little time. You can draft and develop high school kids for 3 or 4 years until they're ready to get to the big leagues. So there's a longer process, but you have so many different levels, rookie ball, low A, high A, double A, triple A. You can really have a plethora of guys over the years to make sure you can replenish your young players to help your veteran players on the big league roster. So there are so many avenues in baseball to better your team. And you mentioned the Brewers do a great job. The Padres do it a little differently, whereas they have a lot of guys that they develop every year, and sometimes they use it via trade to go out and get ready-made big leaguers. And both systems work. You know, the Padres do an excellent job of competing every single year. They're aggressive on the trade market. But the reason why they're aggressive is because they do a tremendous job drafting and signing guys every year. They go, why do the Padres trade guys or prospects just about every year? Because they have prospects every year. You know what I'm saying? We just had the draft. You should have drafted 6 to 8, 10 guys that be ready to go in a couple years at least. And either they're going to be ready to help you out in the big leagues or you can use them via trade. So you have a plethora of guys if you do it right every single year as prospects.
Jerry, I want to make one last Brewers point because I think it's interesting. And maybe people that you know aren't from the Midwest or don't pay attention to these two teams don't understand the significance of this. A few years ago, as you know, the Cubs went and hired the Brewers manager, Craig Counsell. I mean, that was a big – this would be like the Yankees hiring the Red Sox manager, maybe the Dodgers hiring the Padres manager. And at the time, as a Cubs fan, it felt like a coup. And Brewers fans, and we've got a Brewers fan, Bart Winkler, who does a show in the evenings here, were livid, lost their minds. And look, the Cubs have been good, but it hasn't damaged Milwaukee at all. What is your assessment of the Cubs manager? And just in retrospect, that decision by Chicago to go hire that guy.
Well, I'm in a unique spot because I know three people that were affected by that change. First of all, I was teammates with David Ross in Cincinnati. I love Rossi, man. He's one of the best baseball guys. I thought he did a tremendous job. The Cubs at the time felt like they needed a change. Craig Counsell, I played with Counts in Milwaukee. Loved him. Incredible teammate. Always on as far as even when he wasn't playing, trying to help his teammate, seeing what's going on, because he knew in the future he'd be a manager. Kind of like Alex Cora. In that aspect, you know, I thought he did a great job in Milwaukee, and he's doing a really good job with the Cubs. What's overlooked, too, is Pat Murphy. Pat Murphy, he coached, was the head coach for Notre Dame for a number of years. He coached Craig Counsell there at Notre Dame. He also recruited me at Notre Dame, too, by the way. And then he went to ASU and thrived there. And I knew Pat Murphy at ASU when I would work out with their team. Work out with Andre Ether, Jeff Larish, Dustin Pedroia. Pat would allow us to do that, me and Nomar and a couple other guys. So I've known Pat Murphy very well. It doesn't surprise me one bit that when Counts went to the Cubs, that Pat Murphy picked up where Counts left off because Pat taught a lot of stuff to Counts when he was in college. So I think it's worked out for both teams, both organizations. Counsell there with the Cubs, he's doing a really good job. The Cubs are a very good team. I know they're struggling a little bit right now, but they got a really good team. And then obviously Pat Murphy doing an incredible job with the Brewers. So again, the Brewers are a first-class organization. It doesn't surprise me one bit that they're thriving because they put themselves in position to win just about every single year.
Jerry, the Dodgers are still, Jerry Harrison Jr. here on the show, I'm Bill Ryder. The Dodgers are still top of the NL West, but not by a lot. And, you know, going back to even early July, it's not been an easy slog for these guys. Anything about what's going on in LA worrisome in the long term? What's your confidence level that they're going to still be able to hold off a pretty pesky Padres club?
My confidence is still high on this Dodger team. I think the Dodgers are extremely talented. Listen, we all know that the parity in baseball is really at an all-time high. You can make a case that there are 10 to 12 teams right now that could win the World Series. And we knew, especially after this trade deadline, with so many teams being aggressive, getting a closer or getting another arm, getting an impact back to your roster, a lot of teams did that. Dodgers did all their work, really, in the offseason. They have the team to repeat. Now, will they? I do not know. The Dodgers have not played really, really good baseball the last 6 weeks, 2 months. Everybody knows that. They just haven't played well. And I don't know if it's being a little mentally tired for the long grind of the postseason last year and starting to affect them a little bit. The bullpen has been used a lot this season. I think has the highest usage of any bullpen in all of baseball, and that has affected them a little bit. So I expect them to turn around. Hopefully they turn around sooner rather than later, because you talked about the Padres, they're right on their heels. And another thing too is you want to make sure you're playing your best baseball down the stretch and put yourselves in position, hopefully get that number one seed, maybe a number two seed. It might be tough to get now the way the Brewers are playing. The Phillies are playing good baseball as well. So am I worried? I'm a tad bit worried because I know how hard it is to win and how hard it is to repeat. We haven't had a repeat champion in 25 years. This is not like the NFL where you can run out Patrick Mahomes. He's going to be in the AFC championship game. Kansas City, you book it. The Buffalo Bills are going to be in the hunt because I've had a great quarterback. Baseball, you need 26, 30, 35 guys at times throughout the course of the season to put yourselves in position to win. So it's going to be tough, but I expect this Dodger team at the end to be right there.
Jay, here, I want to dive into this parity thing because it's really interesting. There are 18 teams right now, 18 who are 500 or one game under 500, and that doesn't include, right, the Braves, who are sort of in striking distance, and I guess if they got hot, could compete for the wild card. It doesn't include the Pirates, who are two games under 500, and in an NL Central where everybody is, you know, mediocre or better. Is it good for the game? Like, what is your feeling just for the game writ large that so many teams are, you know, moderately fine to really good?
I think it's great for the game. You know, it's amazing. I know we've had this discussion in the last probably 6 months now, because obviously the salary cap issue will be brought up again. It always is brought up during labor disputes. Because Major League Baseball doesn't have a salary cap, teams were able to be aggressive in the trade deadline. Now, and I mentioned earlier, you can make a case 10, 12 teams. And you said possibly more, but I'm looking at 10, 12 teams that have a legit shot to win a World Series. Now, not just get to the playoffs. I mean, win a World Series. You can make case Mariners have a great rotation. Now they've added some thump to their lineup. They could win it. The Astros are right there. The Boston Red Sox, with their talents, especially young talent, as well as the veteran guys like Alex Bregman, they can win. The Yankees haven't played their best baseball. We know that of late, but the talent is still there. They could win. So there are so many teams, and because there's no salary cap, teams could have been aggressive, and they were aggressive at the deadline, and that's how we're able to have an exciting trade deadline. And now we're going to have an exciting last 2 months of the season because you don't know who's going to win. Every team just about is in it. I think it's great for the sport. It's great for baseball. And the fans, record numbers this past weekend, record numbers coming out to see and support their team. So I think it's been great for the baseball. And here's another thing, too. I've been a baseball fan since 1979. I'm going to say 3 years old. Okay, I was born in 76. just loved the game of baseball. Obviously, I didn't know what's going on at 3 years old, but I was in uniform. Okay. But I say that to say this. Baseball has never been more, in my opinion, more watched. That's a fact. Okay. And I really believe baseball hasn't been more healthy. It's a global game. Kids are back watching it. The numbers suggest it, say so. And, you know, I applaud the players. I applaud the organizations and Major League Baseball. It's been fun to watch. And, you know, baseball is at a great place right now.
All right, Jerry, let me close. I'm with you, man. Let me close here. The guy that's producing today strolled into the office in the shiniest Mets jersey he could find. It looks good on him. Give me a quick assessment on the Mets. What's your read on these guys?
They're an enigma, man. They have the talent as far as especially swinging the bat. Anytime you run out Soto out there, the polar bear, that lineup that they have, they're not hitting. I don't know why. They should be. They're not. They're struggling to score runs. Mr. Smile is one of my favorite players, man. I love the way he plays the game. He's struggling a little bit swinging the bat, Lindor. But I think that's going to change. They're just too talented a team. Their bullpen is as good as anybody. And for them to not play their best baseball right now, not playing good baseball at all, the last 7 to 12 days, it's been a little surprising. But I will say this. As cold as a team can be, especially with that talent, they could be red hot. They're just too talented. And I expect them to turn it around. They're just too good of a team.
Jerry, I love the state that baseball's in. I'm with you, man. I was born in 78, and I'll say the same thing. Age 3 is when I was first aware of the Cubs and my love for a team that would cause me a lifetime of pain, but a lot of joy. And baseball's as watchable, as interesting as I can remember in my lifetime, and there's been a lot of great years of baseball. So thank you for hopping on, as always, man. I know you're busy, and just talking a little bit of America's pastime with us.
Anytime, though. I'm excited for the next 6 to 8 weeks, man. It's going to be a fun race.
Me too, dude. Thank you, buddy. Jerry, see you, pal. Jerry Harrison Jr. on the show. He's right. 12 teams, he says, that could win the World Series. 18 teams that are capable of being at 500 or better by the end of the day. And a few more teams, if you sort of look at it, the Braves would be high on this list, that in theory, if they got hot, could at least make a push for the wild card. I think it's really funny, Nico, that of all of his confidence in all the teams, he's like, I don't know, man. The Mets, I don't know, man. Not sure.
Nobody can describe what goes
They're
on
confounding.
In Mets land.
They're confounded. You know what you should be? You should become you're a Michigan fan. You should become a Tigers fan. Just become a Tigers fan.
There you go. Yeah.
There you go. It'll work for you. Yeah. I mean, even the Pirates are almost good. That's how much parity there is.
It's awesome. It's been awesome watching all the teams. I mean, even like, I know they've been good for a few years now, but like the Cleveland Guardians every year have a payroll that's maybe hovering or usually below
Tiny.
100 million, and they're still there fighting every year.
Did you know that the former program director of this fine place, Mark Chernoff, his son is the general manager?
I did not know that.
You did not, yeah. The Chernoff of Guardians fame is the son of the Chernoff of radio fame.
There you go. How do you like that?
They're both wonderful, wonderful people, by the way, as well. And you're right. So listen to this. Then we got to get going. Milwaukee, 20th. Pittsburgh, 21st. Cleveland, 22nd. 23rd, excuse me. Baltimore's 25th in spend. Maybe that's part of their problem. I mean, there are some teams doing a lot with a little this year. And it's very, very cool to watch. 888-710-4ISN. 888-710-4476. Buy or sell. It's all the headlines from sports we have not hit yet, and a take on each one next year on Writer Than You.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast. Welcome back to Writer Than You.
I almost said something gross, but I didn't. All right. You know what's not gross? You know what's amazing? Kurt Heelan's basketball insight and that transition.
You rather see a drone light show over fireworks?
I've seen fireworks 59 times. Let's have some college football fireworks with Josh Pate. That's what we'll do.
On the Infinity Sports Network.
Welcome back into the show. Ryan Hickey, Nico, thinks it's hilarious when I try to do transitions. Because he likes to do transitions.
I thought you nailed the transition last hour with we were talking about weapons, and then you went into terrifying with the Steelers. That was really good.
I did, didn't
I?
Yeah. Let's go. You know what's not terrifying? Places that sponsor the show. This portion of the show is brought to you by Wesley Financial. Stuck in a timeshare and want out? Contact Wesley Financial Group now and get a free timeshare exit information kit at wesleyfinancialgroup.com.
What side will Bill take on the biggest issues in the world of sports? It's time for today's edition of Buy or Sell on Writer Than You.
All right, let's go.
Why don't we head down to South Beach, the Miami Dolphins, with head coach Mike McDaniel entering his fourth season at the helm in Miami. He's got a 28-23 regular season record through the first 3 years, but 0-2 in the postseason. Buy or sell that Mike McDaniel has the hottest seat out of any head coach entering the year?
It's a good question. It's a really good question. I'm just trying to think who would be on a hotter seat. No one in the NFC North. I don't think Stefanski, just based on the idiocy of their Deshaun Watson decision making. Shanahan's fine. New coaches largely in the AFC West, and no one's getting rid of Andy Reid. I'm just going through Vrabel's new. I'll buy. Yeah, I'm here for it.
Buy.
Do you remember? Can you buy or sell? I don't remember. I know one of those 0-2 marks came at the hands of the Chiefs. Have they played the Chiefs both times in the playoffs?
The first time was a loss to Buffalo.
Sell. I mean,
that is the reality of the AFC, by the way. You tell me in the first round, at least, that it's Buffalo or it's Kansas City or it's the Ravens, and you're going to be a dog. Unless you're one of the other teams I just mentioned. The AFC is brutal. I think McDaniel's a really good coach. And I think there's a world where maybe he's gotten a lot more out of Tua than most people would. But if they don't have success this year, if they don't make the playoffs, he's not sticking around.
I will give him the benefit of the doubt. That first playoff loss in Buffalo, Skylar Thompson played quarterback because Tua was hurt.
That's right.
So in fairness, it's a 0-2 record with an asterisk next to it, but it's still for a franchise that hasn't won a playoff game since 2000. Right. Enough time has gone by where it's time to go.
He also, and that Chiefs game, if memory serves, look, any game in Arrowhead that's not great. I think that was the frigid negative 20 degree where fans literally, there were fans who lost digits from frostbite. And everybody's got to play in the same weather. I get it. I've lived in Miami. It's warmer there than it is in Kansas City when it's negative or whatever. So it's just those are two bad draws.
Let's head out west over where you are in Los Angeles. Matthew Stafford was supposed to be at practice yesterday, ended up not being at practice. He's still dealing with that injury. Buy or sell that you're concerned about Stafford's health and the Rams this year?
Buy, yeah.
Buy.
You know what? I keep bringing up NFC teams, right? Sort of searching. There are people who think the Rams can make the Super Bowl this year. And everything has to click right for that to be realistic, health included. But they've already got the most important thing that you can have, and that is a path, because the NFC's not very good. Let me ask you a buy or sell question. I meant to bring this up earlier. So I went yesterday to my favorite bookstore in Manhattan Beach, California, to get a book. And there's a great coffee shop next door. They share a patio area, and the coffee is amazing. The coffee also, I believe, costs $83 for a latte or whatever it is. So I don't go a lot, but I love it. And I was talking to the person at the bookstore, and she doesn't know who I am, but my wife is a librarian, so she knew who my wife was. Okay. She knew what I did for a living as a result. She mentioned that Clayton Kershaw had been there the day before, and a teacher who's a huge Dodgers fan walked up to him and like, oh my God, I love you, and got his autograph. And Clayton Kershaw, by all accounts, is a nice guy. By herself, Clayton Kershaw is just chilling near the beach, drinking a latte, that it's okay to ask for his autograph.
Sell.
So I have trained myself, since we work in a business where we're going to meet a lot of athletes, I've trained myself to not get like too excited and act like, oh my God, I need to go over and get a picture and get an autograph. I mean, even here on the daily basis, I'm walking by Tiki Barber and he's giving me a fist bump. On the inside, I'm like, oh my God, that was insane, but I can't show it. So I guess from my circumstance, I would say no. But for other people out there, I have no issue. I have respect for people that do it.
Yeah, I would never ask for an autograph either. I think it would be I think I would just be like, hey, Clint, what's up, man? Great, you know, great season last. Right? That's the, hey, what's up? All right, buy or sell, you can do the first name. Hey, what's up, Clayton?
Buy.
What's up, bro?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't see an issue with that.
I mean, Clayton Kershaw, a lot of baseball players are hard to recognize. They just kind of blend in. Clayton Kershaw is a very distinct, tall-looking gentleman.
Where do we draw the line, though? Do you go, like, nickname? Like, CK, what's going on?
What's up, C-Dog? No, I don't. I mean, it would be daytime. It's a coffee shop. I'd be sober. So, no, it's not. But, you know, like, if I had an old producer. I used to do a TV show where I just made, and this radio show where I made fun of Jay Cutler all the time. All the time. And a producer of mine called me from Miami, because he was in Miami and I was in L.A. And he's like, oh, Jay Cutler is here and I'm talking to him and I'm trying to get him on video. And I'm like, okay. Wait, are you hammered? He's like, yeah. I'm like, get out of there. You can't talk to Jay Cutler hammered on behalf of the show. So my point is, it could get a little rickety if I was, you know, hammered.
Yeah, I don't want to.
Clayton!
Go
my job is
to
beat
route.
You guys. Thanks for my World Series ring, you loser.
All right, let's head back over to Cleveland. We did a lot of conversation about Shador Sanders and his first preseason debut. He got the start in that week one preseason game against the Panthers due to some injuries to other quarterbacks. Kenny Pickett's not healthy. Dylan Gabriel hasn't been healthy. Stefanski, though, did say that Gabriel's going to return to 11-on-11 this week at practice. They have not yet announced a starter for their week two preseason game. Buy or sell that if Gabriel's healthy, he deserves a chance to start.
Yeah, bye. I mean, look.
Bye.
They drafted him in the third round, not the fifth round like Shador. Shador is still fourth on the depth chart. Gabriel's higher. And once you make the decision, it's not like they drafted Dylan Gabriel 2 years ago or a year ago and it didn't work out. He's not Anthony Richardson, and I know that Anthony Richardson was drafted with the fourth overall pick. I get it. That's very different than a third round pick. But the point is, you don't even know what you have in him yet. And so once you draft two quarterbacks in this most recent draft, you have to give each of them an opportunity, and you have to err on the side of the guy you drafted in the third round, because that's the guy you thought had higher upside.
On Friday night, the New England Patriots unveiled a statue of Tom Brady, the six-time Super Bowl-winning quarterback for the Patriots, at least, of course, won a seventh Super Bowl with the Buccaneers. And in his speech after having the statue unveiled, he threw a little jab at the Jets.
But in the end, this statue isn't just for Pats fans. It'll also give all the Jets fans something to throw their beers at as they leave the stadium every year. Probably in the second quarter. Maybe the third.
Buy or sell that Tom Brady throwing insults at the Jets of all teams is a little weird.
Sell it. I like it. You know?
Sell.
The hatred that fuels most of the all-time greats is real and is often manufactured, but it's real to them. Hate who you gotta hate.
Yeah, I guess so. I just thought it was weird. Like, if he did that to, like, the Colts or, like, you know, the Bills now,
well,
that they're good and relevant.
I mean, it's worth, and I don't remember who they beat together, it's worth pointing out that, I know it's a long time ago, but it was Brady's tenure that the Jets made with Mark Sanchez and Sexy Rexy, Mr. Toes, they made back-to-back AFC Championship games. And did they beat the Patriots? I think they might have.
Yeah, one of those years, because that's the Bart Scott can't wait thing that was in New England.
That's right. So it's, I mean, guys like Brady never forget the games they lose, the seasons that got away as much as the seasons where they succeeded. So maybe that's part of it.
Yeah, that's a good point. He did a lot of winning against...
Good. I was going to say, buy or sell, it's ever going to get better for the Jets than Sexy Rexy Toes Coach and Mark, I'm on a motorcycle, Sanchez making back-to-back AFC Championship games.
Sell.
It's so good. It was such... I love Sanchez back then. He had so much swagger.
I don't know if you... I mean, I guess you do as a Cubs fan, but they are so cursed, the Jets.
I know.
Like, I fully believe that there is a spell that has been put on them that they just... Whatever they do, it's never going to work.
I think the spell is pronounced Woody Johnson. I'm really rooting for Justin Fields. Buy or sell, you have optimism. Justin Fields can salvage his career.
Buy.
Me too, dude. He's a good football player.
Yeah, I could see it. Well, Tom Brady did a whole lot of winning against Peyton Manning. His nephew Arch is now getting the starting job at Texas after sitting 2 years behind Quinn Ewers. Grandfather Archie made some comments the other day saying that he thinks that Arch is planning on staying at Texas for two more years so he'd finish out his senior year with the Longhorns. Buy or sell that if Arch does, in fact, do two more years at Texas, this is a mistake.
Sell. I like it. So this is an interesting stat that Ryan Hickey dug up the other day, and this is from like 2 weeks ago, but I think it's interesting. Quarterbacks who were drafted in the first round who only started 1 year in college since 2014. So if Arch plays at Texas this year, if he came out, he would qualify, right? 1 year as a starter, obviously he would be the top pick in the draft, or certainly a first round pick. Those quarterbacks, so 1 year, only 1 year of starting experience in college and then first round draft pick since 2014 are Anthony Richardson, Trey Lance, Mac Jones, Kyler Murray, Dwayne Haskins, and Mitch Trubisky. And so I think that's enough. And I'm not even sure Kyler Murray's a success. But if he is, he's the only one. I don't think he is. But there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 out-and-out failures on that list. And so I think we've already seen this with Trevor Lawrence. We've already seen this in the past. I think NIL, err on the side of development. He also waited so long. I mean, I guess if you win a national title and you win the Heisman, there's an argument maybe you've done it all. But I think it makes sense for Arch to stay in college for another year after this year.
We'll stay in the SEC. Alabama has named its starting quarterback. They're going to go with Ty Simpson. He's a 5-star recruit entering his redshirt junior year after sitting behind Jalen Milroe for a couple of years. Kalen DeBoer now entering year 2 as Alabama head coach after replacing Nick Saban. Buy or sell that if Bama misses the playoffs again, Kalen DeBoer should be fired.
I mean, I know it sounds crazy. I'm going to buy it as certainly a reasonable thing to consider. I understand the difficulty of replacing a legend. Often, not always, often when you replace a legendary person at a program like this, it's because that legend let things slip a little bit. So think Penn State post, and there are other factors there, but think, you know, Joe Pa. This is different. Saban, at least the first time around, Michael Jordan this thing. Alabama was a force. I know you can transfer out, but its roster was complete. It was a magnet for talent. It was a place people wanted to play. DeBoer was very well respected. It's not like he inherited a project. He inherited a behemoth. And it's an expanded college playoff, different than it was a few years ago. Yeah, you take that job, you got to make the playoff. At a minimum, you have to make the playoff.
Oklahoma quarterback John Mateer is in the news. There are pictures circling on social media that show him Venmoing people, and the title of these Venmos are sports gambling. Now, we have no idea, obviously, if this is real or not. Could just be a joke. Buy or sell, though, whether he's guilty or not, John Mateer is an idiot.
Buy. Yeah, that's not a great...
Buy.
I hope his form of idiocy in this case, and we all have it, is bad joke making, because the reality is gambling, the tentacles of gambling, the consequences are going to come for sports. We've seen it in every sport. It's going to be out there, and you just hope this is not another example.
Last one for you. We had Jerry Harrison Jr. on the show. I know you guys talked about this. The Milwaukee Brewers are the best team in baseball based on record, 74-44, 30 games over 500. They are currently on a 10-game winning streak. Buy or sell that you think this Brewers team is good enough to win the World Series?
Man. Is it weird that I kind of want them to be? Look, they have a great pitching staff. They have the third best ERA in baseball. I'll buy it.
Buy.
What the hell? Let's go. Buy or sell, you think it's strange that I like the Brewers as a Cubs fan?
Buy.
Because I hate the Cardinals. And look, if you're listening in Cardinals land and you're a Cardinals fan and it makes you mad, I understand. I respect your organization. I think you're incredibly well run. The Pujol years were amazing. I just want you to lose every game for the rest of your life and be in abject misery. That's just how I feel about the Cardinals. It's just what it is. I like the Brewers. I can't explain it. I just do.
I don't mind, like, the Miami Marlins, for example. They're in the Mets division, but the Marlins have been so bad that it's almost like I feel bad for them. The Brewers,
they've won
though,
more
have
World
been.
Series well, than you guys have yeah. in recent.
That's fair, but.
I mean, you know.
The Brewers have been good recently, so I'm surprised that you don't have, like, you haven't built up a hatred towards
yeah.
them.
I mean, don't get me wrong. When the Cubs play them, I want the Cubs to win. And if the Cubs play them in the playoffs, I want them to destroy them and humiliate them. But I like them. You know, it's like, I like to compete, and I play tennis because I can't play hoops anymore the way that I used to. And I played my buddy in a league match this last week, and I beat him. And the guy's guard, great. But I also want to destroy him even more because he's my friend. It's kind of like that, you know? I still want to humiliate them. But I also like him. All right, good job. Good job, Nico. Niklas? Buy or sell, I did that right.
Buy.
Let's go. The return of John Gruden, question mark? We'll get into some of the reasons why that could happen.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast.
All right, welcome back into the show. Bill Ryder with you here on this Tuesday. Niklas Skarlatos is filling in for Ryan Hickey. Ryan's back on Thursday. Thank you to Jerry Hairston Jr. for being on the show. He's great today. He's always great. Thank you to Andrew Bogish for his updates and his patience when I sent him news about alien life just to piss him off, just to freak him out. I've never... Do you believe in aliens?
I don't want to say I don't believe in it, but...
You will.
I need a little more proof.
It's out there. I'll start sending... I'll put you on the chain.
Oh, God.
The truth is not just out there. It's you know, I've got it.
It does scare me. Maybe that's why I'm in a little bit of a denial, because I don't want to believe it.
It scares Andrew.
I'm going to go and make a joke after the show now in the newsroom.
Yeah, tell him. Let him know. Alien life. It's coming for him. The defensive player, he's very defensive about it. Speaking of which, the defensive player of the week is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. This week, we highlight Astros pitcher Jason Alexander, the 32-year-old, whose career ERA is north of 5, so not amazing, held the Yankees to just one hit over 6 shutout innings on Sunday. The Stros went on to win 7-1 before you include the humiliation of being shut down by that guy. He did it. He got it done. That's pretty funny. As a Mets fan, Niklas, I'm going to assume that you really enjoyed that one.
I had great pleasure in typing that one up today.
Great job. All right, so a couple bits of news here on John Gruden. As you know, John Gruden basically blackballed by the National Football League. Racist emails came out that were released. The Nevada High Court basically sided with him in an ongoing lawsuit against the NFL. There's no overarching ruling, but they certainly said that the way that the arbitration process went forward was, I think the word they used was unconscionable, since ultimately it was the commissioner who many believe to be the person who was forcing out Gruden in the first place was the decider of that situation. Gruden's lawsuit alleges basically that Roger Goodell and the league pressured the Raiders to fire him and leaked those emails that did, by the way, they did contain racist, sexist, anti-gay comments. They did. And it's not acceptable. I wouldn't want my text messages leaked. Now, you wouldn't find those things in there, but I'd certainly piss my wife off. I mean, like, there are just things, right? Like, there are private... I'm not saying... I'm not even making a judgment on whether or not... where we sort of stand on Gruden. Not acceptable. You want to not hire him for those reasons. Absolutely reasonable, legitimate. At the same time that Gruden won this ruling, and as his lawsuit moves forward, and there's the chance that maybe, just from a legal perspective, he'll be able to have some restitution or retribution or both for what is allegedly the NFL orchestrating his downfall, Roger Goodell allegedly orchestrating his downfall, Josh Pate, who we've had on the show, who just moved his show from CBS to Yahoo. So he left CBS just like I did. Totally similar circumstances. Everybody's leaving CBS. Josh said on his show the other day that he really thinks Gruden could be a college coach, that he thinks that's the path forward. And I was thinking about it, kind of smacked me in the face. It is what makes sense. Gruden is blackballed. at least from coaching, right? At least from coaching. He's obviously in media. And he loves to coach, and he wants to do it. And we've seen a couple things. First of all, we've seen ambitious coaches with NFL Super Bowl-winning pedigrees, see Bill Belichick, with some interesting baggage. You can kind of make up your mind what the baggage is for Mr. Belichick. Could be his last few years, could be his girlfriend. I don't know. I'll let you decide. Get jobs. And UNC is not a bad job. We've seen a multitude of people who needed to reinvent themselves or hadn't succeeded go to the collegiate level and have it work out or not work out. That it is an opportunity now, and there's a more professional model, and there's more money, and there's a lot going on. Gruden can get a job at the collegiate level, and if he wants to, it would be really interesting because I don't know. Here's my thing about John Gruden, and I'm not trying to brush under the rug the ugliness and awfulness of what was in his emails. I'm not. And I understand, I'm not an idiot all the time, I understand that many people don't care about those things, and even people who do care about those things care more about winning, whether they're fans or athletic directors. I think the game's probably passed John Gruden by. I'm not sure he's the juice is worth the squeeze there. I mean, Chip Kelly basically had to leave a really good, he had to leave the NFL to go, similar example, to coach at the collegiate level, wasn't good enough to do it, so had to go be a coordinator, won a national title, to kind of reinvent himself. John Gruden's not going to go be an offensive coordinator and study the game. He probably thinks he already is smart enough to do the whole thing, and maybe he is. He wasn't that impressive with the Raiders. He is charismatic, yes. He is charming, sure. He's done a really funny show where he sits down with quarterbacks and acts like he's a guru, absolutely. The game evolves at such a swift speed that if you miss some of that, if you are out for a while, if you don't evolve, you die. Bill Belichick didn't evolve. Chip Kelly didn't evolve. Pete Carroll didn't evolve. We'll see how that goes. I think one of the most remarkable things about Andy Reid that no one gives him credit for is he's been doing this. He's been operating at the highest level of offensive thinking in the National Football League the entirety of the century. And he's still cutting edge. And there's a thing, there's a factoid that we sort of go, oh, isn't that sweet? Where we know, we've been told by reporters, and they've talked about it, that when they draw plays in Kansas City, if you're the quarterback, you're allowed to draw. You can literally stand up and try a play. You can do it if you're the backup quarterback. You can do it if you're the offensive coordinator. You can do it if the quarterback's coach. So there's this, and people sort of paint it as, and it makes sense, a spirit of camaraderie and great chemistry building. It's also Andy Reid not having such an ego that he thinks he's the smartest guy in the world. He wants other people to keep him sharp and keep him fresh. And that is something that a lot of coaches don't do, and I think that applies to John Gruden. So, okay, this lawsuit went well for him. Cool. It's a legal thing. Way to go. That's fine. He wants to maybe potentially coach at the collegiate level. He'll get a chance if he wants it. And again, putting the other things aside, which you don't have to do, I'm not sure he's a good enough coach anymore. We've seen a lot more people fail than succeed who make that step down because they do it out of desperation. Remember Eric Bieniemy? Remember that guy? Why can't he get a job? Why can't he get a head coaching job? Why does he keep getting, what's going on? What are the ulterior motives? The ulterior motive turned out that he wasn't very good at the job. Couldn't get along with Mahomes, couldn't get along with Andy Reid, according to some of the reporting was out there. Went to the collegiate level, couldn't even do it at that level. And so the Gruden thing's interesting, and he may be on his way back, and guys like Josh Pate don't just throw that out there. I think the bigger reality, or the sort of thing about that I find really interesting, is I don't think it'll work. I would have more confidence in Bill Belichick than I would in John Gruden succeeding. And I'm sort of 50-50 on whether Billy Boy Belichick's going to be able to get it done. What if I called him Billy Boy if he came on the show? Would that go over great?
Love it.
I think he'd love it, too. All right, that's the show. I'm Bill Ryder. It's Ryder Than You. This is the Infinity Sports Network. Appreciate you listening. Appreciate you hanging out. We'll see you back here tomorrow on the program.